The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word today, and we want to wish you Happy New Year, 2018. I just remember just the other day, I thought it was turning 2000 and the computers all over the world was going to crash. And now 18 years later, they're still working, Alex.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sometimes I wish they had have crashed.
How computers, you know, there's this song, A Baby Changes Everything.
Yes.
Somebody needs to write another song. A computer changed it all. Something.
Well, I'm
so anyway, but it did not crash completely in 2000, had a few glitches. But we're now in 2018, and we do say Happy New Year.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, it is hard for me to believe 2018, but yes, we are well into the 20th century. You know, it's funny, teaching at North Greenville University and interacting with young people, you know, we have these benchmarks that are kind of the milestones in our life. I remember how many people have said they remember where they were when they saw that President Kennedy had been shot. You know, people,
I'm one of those.
I remember where I was when the Space Shuttle Challenger blew up, and my dad and I were with mouths open and hearts broken watching TV when that happened. And we remember so many things. 9/11. But here's the thing. I have so many young people at college. They'll say, 9/11 happened 2 years before I was born. I mean, think about that. But it's just amazing how time flies. And when the new year comes around, we often think about what we're going to do in terms of making a promise to ourselves or making a resolution or setting a goal or maybe renewing our commitment to the Lord even. And I think that's appropriate. People often, they'll jokingly say, well, you know, keeping a resolution lasts about as long as it took to make the resolution. You know, we're famous at breaking vows we make. But I do think it's important to try with God's help to recommit ourselves to some things.
It is.
You?
Every year you need markers. The Bible talks about markers. And what mean these stones, you know, when they were about to go over?
Right.
Leave this marker so people will ask the questions. So you just have certain areas in your life that brings you to a point of remembrance. That's what every Sunday should be. It should be a day that you remember, the first day of the week, the resurrection of our Lord. And so there's markers all through our life, weekly, monthly, and I would even say yearly, and then in your life. And so New Year's is a good day to have a marker of evaluation. So Alex, take us through this New Year's message that we want to share with our people today.
Well, I want to read a scripture, and I'm going to read a little bit from 1 John chapter 2, and then we're going to talk about what should be the Christian's priorities here in this 21st century world. And I guess we might call this a phrase I heard from a law enforcement officer one time, and I've heard from soldiers too, situational awareness. Situational awareness is what, you know, people try to understand the situation, and they ask several questions, and I'm going to get to what the three questions of situational awareness are, but let's challenge ourselves moving into this new year to be situationally aware and at our best for Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 John, which we love, I think it's one of the most quoted books, very famously, in verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lusts thereof, the lust in it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And it goes on in 1 John 2, and it talks about these are the last days, the last hour. There's going to be a falling away. There's going to be apostasy. Look at verse 22 of 1 John 2. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Okay, one of the litmus tests for orthodoxy Christian truth is that you recognize Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. Isn't that something? So now, young people, if you've got a college professor, Hollywood celebrity, whomever, and they might have credentials and fame and power and a PhD, but they say, Jesus was a good teacher. You know, he was a wise philosopher, but not really the only way to God. According to 1 John 2:22, that is the mindset, the spirit of the Antichrist.
Okay. And when you have that, you turn away.
Yes.
From such, turn away. Don't give them time. Yes, you let them speak. You don't shut them down. That's a big deal today in our culture. A conservative goes to some of these liberal colleges, and they won't even let them in the doors to speak. They shut them down.
Yes.
Now, we can hear that, and we judge that, but we don't give room to that in our minds if it's against Christ.
Yes.
We live in that kind of a world.
Right.
And so the whole idea here, you finish that up in verses 28 and 29, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him."
Yes.
Abide. That it has the idea of staying in him, feed upon him and he in you, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Yes.
If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness as he is born of him. When we practice his righteousness, in other words, let the life of Christ flow through us. That's the whole idea. Abiding in him, that's what they're referring to. Don't get the idea that, I practice righteousness and I'm saved by my works. But because I abide in him, righteousness is a part of my life.
Yes. Well, you know, throughout 1 John 2, you see the verb abide. And the way it's constructed, it means continual, uninterrupted action. Back in verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is what he has promised us.
That sounds a lot like
eternal life.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
John chapter 15.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know? And so he's carrying it over here and gives it, he carries that thought from the Gospel of John to the letter of 1 John, same guy wrote it, different letter, different time, but same thing about abiding in Christ, Alex.
Well, exactly. Now, we're talking about situational awareness, being at your best, being vigilant, being on your toes, at the ready. Now, soldiers on a mission, police officers responding to a call, the questions they ask, they ask three questions. Okay, what is the mission? Question two, where am I? Question three, how may I have the best possible outcome? As a Christian, and you know, we are onward Christian soldiers, you know, and we're not to love the world. The world is passing away, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I mean, all that stuff is so temporal. And as you read 1 John 2:28, abide in him, that when he appears, we can stand before him unashamed at his coming. Okay, we've got to ask our question. What is my mission? Where am I? How may I achieve the best possible outcome?
Okay, what is your mission? 2018. Do you remember Mission Impossible? I know they made the movies, but I was an expert in the television program.
Yeah, yeah.
And here is your mission if you choose to take it.
Yes.
You know, and this will self-destruct.
Yes.
You know, and you remember that was a great show. If you can get the old Mission Impossibles, you'll enjoy it. But this is your mission, and we need to choose it, to represent Christ in this fallen world in 2018. What a mission. It's a great adventure.
Is. When I spoke at Columbia Bible College in South Carolina, back at the back wall of the stage in their chapel, in huge letters, it says, to know him and make him known. I mean, that's the mission. It is,
Amen.
Folks.
And really, I know it's become a cliche, but that is one of the greatest sayings for a church, to know him and to make him known. And they go together. If you try to do one without the other, you are failing.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to know him.
Angie,
you got to make him known.
Early in our marriage, we still do this, every January 1st, we have devotions, we read the Bible, because, you know, most people have at least a little bit of time off on that day. But we try to make the New Year's Day a day that we write down some things, some goals. Early in our marriage, we said that we wanted to make this our marching orders. Evangelize the lost and equip the saved. I mean, and, you know, she does it. I know everybody hears about me. I could spend a whole show telling you what my wife does as a Christian lady and as a nurse, but to evangelize the lost and equip the saved. I mean, phrase it many ways. That's our mission. I do want to devote a little bit of time to the question, where are we? Because a soldier, you know, anybody that's wanting to be at their best has to evaluate their environment. I do believe in the Western world, at least to a degree, there is part of the church that's in a state of apostasy. And it talks about in the New Testament a rejection of known truth, falling away. So let's talk a little bit about apostasy. You want to do that?
Let them know what it is.
Yeah.
It is false teaching. It is turning away, apostatizing. I mean, you're turning away from what? Truth?
Yeah. Because we're part of the church, and apostasy is the same Greek word for the word riot. You know, it's kind of upheaval, chaos. All right, the church, and we are part of the church, has really kind of four states: healthy, alive, but slightly anemic, backslidden, or apostate. Now, there is the church, and there are expressions of the church regionally throughout the world. Then there's your church. You know, I hope you're part of a healthy church. You might be a part of a struggling, anemic church. You might be a part of a backslidden church, or you might be a part of an apostate church that's a shell of its former self. Okay, signs of apostasy. I would say this, my dear friend, that the church in America, the 345,000 churches that exist in our country, I love the church, but one of the things that really shows that we need a renewed commitment to God is, look, there is rejection of basic doctrines that have been part of Christianity since the beginning. The deity of Christ, the Trinity, the fact that the Holy Spirit is fully God, salvation by grace, not works. You know, salvation that is necessary. I mean, people have to be born again or they will not go to heaven. That's biblical. And Bert, have you seen, I know you're in many churches to speak, and you've been, I want to say for 3 decades plus, you've been a role model of what it means to do it right and how we applaud you. I mean, you've been a valiant, consistent man of God for so many years. But are you seeing theological compromise and a rejection of core Christian doctrine?
I have observed it and seen it. And some churches have corrected it. Some have not. You know, when you go down a hill theologically, the more difficult it is to stop the snowball. And what happens when you, it's all centered in Jesus Christ. Just let's make it known. Sure, it's about Jesus. And when you reject what he taught concerning marriage and justify same-sex marriage, when you reject what he said about salvation and thinking that it's a universal salvation, the church is in desperate need because of their view of Christ, Alex.
Well, when we come back, we're going to continue this New Year's Day message on what the priorities should be moving forward, signs that we're in a need of revival. And so this is Exploring the Word with Alex and Bert. Stay tuned. We're back right after this.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Word is alive, and the word and its glories will fade. But its truth, it will not pass away. It remains yesterday.
again, we want to wish you a happy new year, 2018. Now, people don't write near as many checks as they used to because of credit cards and because of the computer
online
and online payment. But yet, if you have to write something and you have to put the date, 2018.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, I'll get that by October.
Yeah. But it takes me about 6 months to get what year we're in, you know.
But we're talking about some things essential, being aware, awareness. I remember hearing some policemen talk about that, and they came to a church where I pastored, and they're talking about being aware of where you are, about notice where you park, and be careful about when you leave and you're in a parking lot and you're going into a store. Don't walk right up next to the cars. Get away from the cars. So if somebody's going to jump you, at least you would have a little time to observe them. Walk out in the middle of the area if you possibly can, if no cars are coming. But being aware. So we need to have some awareness for 2018, and we're going over that. We're talking about what our mission is, and we could have spent the whole thing on what our mission is.
Right.
But we're talking about where we are as a country, as a church. So let's keep on going that. We talked about the rejection of basic doctrines. There are other signs, aren't there?
Well, yeah. I mean, when mainline denominations would ordain homosexuals and perform gay marriages, I mean, that's a sign that we're in at least partially a culture of apostasy. Because look, the tides of culture must never cause us to truncate or change or distort the truth of Scripture. I mean, clearly mark it down. I mean, the Bible in Old and New Testaments condemns adultery, fornication, homosexuality. And friend, don't be misled by the sophistry and the twisting and the grammatical gymnastics of those who want to set forth an agenda rather than the Word of God. The ordination of homosexuals, Christians who are ashamed of the gospel. And let me just say this, the ordination and installation of women as senior pastors in churches. Now, if you go to a church that has a woman senior pastor, that's not going to send you to hell, but that's not what the Bible says. I mean, if you read 1 Timothy 2 and Titus chapter 1, the Word of God, and remember, it is Christ's church, not ours, but the Word of God says that the senior pastor is a man.
Well, let me stop there just for a second. We're going to go through these real quickly. Some of that has happened because men dropping out of their post.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And so men, in place of crying against the darkness, step up to the plate.
Yeah, exactly.
And men answer the call to preach, be the men that they're supposed to be. I just want to share that. That's that important.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
You know, ordaining homosexuals and women pastors, they're not on the near the same level.
Yeah,
they're not. But they're signs, and these signs, some of them are more severe than other signs.
Yeah.
But they're still signs of what we're looking at in 2018.
Exactly. I mean, things like Christians that are reluctant to use the name Jesus, immorality within the church, you know, ungodly speech and behavior by Christians, having religion but really no power and presence of God, all of these are signs that we need a revival. I'm just going to say it.
Immorality in the church is rampant, and even in leadership. Now, they happened in early church. Early church had immorality problems. Church of Corinth had severe immorality problems.
Yeah.
So it's ongoing. But the issue is they accepted it, and Paul wrote to them, brothers, these things ought not to be. So what you're saying and what I'm saying, yes, you got them, but especially in leadership, these things ought not to be, brethren.
And let me just say this. January 1 is as good a day as any to clear your web browser. You know, on the website for 1milliondads.com, and you may be aware of 1 Million Moms, 1 Million Dads. These are outreach ministries of the American Family Association. The number of men, even in ministry, that look at inappropriate material on the internet and porn, and I'm talking pastors and ministers and dads that have ungodly things on their computer.
And you better not take your finger off of the thing to change it real quick because it'll come up in an article that you have no earthly idea that it will be there. Now, it's, you know, scantily dressed or things. And be real quick. Be real quick to move on.
Yeah.
When it happens, you know, it happens, but you can move on.
And
that's what we do that. Move on.
Look, make a decision. And it's the new year. Just, you're going to put all that junk behind
Amen.
You. Look, hey, is that helping your marriage? No. Is it helping your mind and letting all that stuff live rent-free in your head and your heart? No. Could it hinder your walk and your witness? Of course, and it is. So just make a decision. Look, if that stuff is a net negative, and it is, then don't let it be a part of who you are, my friend. We don't want to be a bride of Christ with dirty hands and feet.
Amen.
Okay, let me say that we need a revival, and I believe we're in a time of apostasy because there's no brokenness over the lost. There's no warning sinners of hell and eternity and the state of their soul. Christians that just, we don't have much of a prayer life. We can't pray with power, even within the church and within Christian schools. Our missions money go into schools that teach evolution and teach pluralism. And we could go on. Bert, let me just say this. I don't think we've got to convince most listeners that the world is in a bad place right now.
Yeah, and we don't want to spend the whole program on that.
Right.
And that's the reason we're going through this quickly. And I hear people, what do you want in a church? I want to go to a church that makes me feel good when I get out. Well, if that's what you're looking for, you're probably looking for the wrong things. You want balance. Yes, I've gone to church when I needed to be lifted up, Alex, and I've been lifted up.
Right.
I've gone to church when I needed to be brought into looking in the mirror and seeing what changes I need to make. And the only way to do that is to be at a church where the Word of God is being preached consistently.
Amen.
And it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do in one sermon that is based in the Word of God. He'll lift one brother up, and then he will bring the other to a point of realization. I
Amen.
Need to change.
Amen. Well, I want to tell you, on this New Year's Day and a brand new year, and we're talking about situational awareness and what would give us the best possible outcome in the world in which we live? Where am I? What is my mission? How's the best possible outcome? We're going to give you some things that we think are priorities, and we're going to try to aspire to these things more diligently than ever. But the first one is to pray. To pray. You know, I love Luke 18:1. Jesus said to his disciples that we ought to always pray and not to give up. The King James says, always pray and not to faint. Or lose heart.
Lose heart. You know, everybody's got their preference. Doesn't make it right. Don't lose heart.
Yeah.
Keep praying. I know some people that prayed for 50 years for someone to be saved. And when they saw it, it was an amazing thing. Don't give up. Men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. Is that an option or is that a command?
It's a command.
Amen.
Hey, look, God is still God. God still loves you. The Bible is still the Bible. You know, we still have the reality of the empty tomb, the risen Savior. So we've got every reason to be excited.
Be a part of a prayer group and have not a gossip group, a real prayer group. It may be one person, but have somebody you're praying with. And you say, well, I don't have that person. Find them. Ask God to reveal it. I know my wife, as we move from place to place in the early years in churches, and come to a new church, one of the first things that we really needed and wanted to do was find someone that Jan, another female, that Jan could become a friend and a prayer partner with.
Amen.
How important is that? Not just for females, but males as well.
Very important. So make prayer a priority in the new year. I mean, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power.
Amen.
As the old saying goes. Number two, witness. This is part of the best possible outcome for this year and for your life, witness. I love Acts 5:42. It says, daily in the church, in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So it doesn't say occasionally, spasmodically, periodically. No, daily.
Amen.
They were a witness.
Well, you're a witness no matter what. Are you a good one or a bad one?
Yeah.
Is it a word spoken? Now, I want to tell you, I've heard it said, and it was another cliche, and we're good at cliches here. We know them all just about it.
I enjoy cliches.
Yeah, but your lies speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
And make sure your life, here's what another one, your walk and your talk are together.
Yeah.
They're not separate. Your talk and your walk, make it real. Make it real. Let them know when you say what you do. We've talked about leaving a tip. Don't leave that little thing that says, I have a tip for you, come to Christ, and have no money in it. If I was a server and I got that, I'd wad it up and throw it in the wastebasket. No money in it. I can tell you that right now. So leave some money in it. Be generous. Generosity is one of those things we don't do real well sometimes. But be a witness.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Those are two of the most famous Great Commission passages. And I believe that it's good to have a verse, well, a lot of verses you hone in on. Angie and I often try to have a scripture that we meditate on throughout the year, you know. And early in our marriage, we really embraced a lot of these Great Commission type verses. And so we are to be a witness. We're to give. Be a tither. Honor the Lord with your substance.
Now, Alex, what kind of giver does God like?
A cheerful giver.
A cheerful giver. It really, in the Greek, it's hilarious in
yeah.
a way.
Yeah.
In other words, you can't help but smile when you're giving it. Amen. I get to do this. Not I have to do it, but I get to do it.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
And listen, the command to tithe, to give to the 10%, and we believe, you know, give where you're fed, but it's a heart issue. It is not a financial issue. Years ago, the rock group U2, very famous band, had a song, and very sarcastically, there was a lyric in one of their songs that said, "My God isn't short of cash." We're not to be tithers because God needs our money. It is a heart issue. Now, the gospel is free, but it takes resources to deliver that free message. So just if you're not letting God really have control of your finances, if you have forgotten that you're a steward, not an owner, let this year begin by honoring the Lord. If you've given God your heart, give him your pocketbook.
Let me ask you this. How much of your income does God own if you've been bought with a price?
Well, should I say he owns 10% and I own the other 90? No. He owns 100.
He owns it all.
Yeah.
Be faithful with all of it. Not just because you give 10% doesn't mean that you don't ask him how to spend the other 90.
Right.
I mean, and you brought it up, that's stewardship, right?
Well, it really is.
Amen.
Grow and study. Make a commitment to grow and study in the new year. A quote attributed to John Wesley is, "Those who read, lead." Now, I'm going to put it this way. I can't survive eating food off somebody else's plate, can I?
You'd probably get in trouble doing that. And you might get a disease, too. But go ahead.
Well,
I didn't mean to bring
you,
that up.
You know, sometimes people will say, you and Bert are really smart. Now, I can't speak for Bert. I think Bert is very wise. But there's really nothing special about us at all. I mean,
listen, that is a true statement. God, I tell folks, and I'm breaking in here, and I don't say this trying to be funny. It is funny, but it's true, too. God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. Bert Harper is a classic example. Now, I did all right in school, but I wasn't great head of my class and everything. But God, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
I don't care where you are. I don't care what level. I don't care what you made on your ACT scores, SAT scores. I don't care what you do, ranking your intellect, but God.
Mm-hmm.
And God intervenes in your life, in your studying, and in your growing. There's no reason why. God can't use you where you are. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness in this present world, Alex. So we need to cultivate it. We need to work out of our salvation, as Philippians says. So we needed to study and grow. And they go parallel. Notice how those grow parallel. You're not going to grow without studying. And if you study with the right mindset, you're not studying just to know the Bible. You're studying to know more of God. God.
Of God. Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, it's not that Bert and I are all that intelligent or anything, but if you read the Word of God, the Spirit is going to just make some stuff stick. I mean, there will be this overflow. And I want to encourage you, as we go into this new year, read God's book and read good books. The good Lord's allowed me to write a few books. American Family puts out a wonderful journal. There is a plethora of good, I mean great, content online. If you surf the AFR, AFA websites, 1 million dads, 1 million moms.
The Stand?
Yeah.
Engage Magazine?
EngageMagazine.net, which is really great for 20-somethings and young adults. I mean, I have really, that's why I'm always bookmarking all these pages. But as we go into the new year, commit to be a lifelong learner. And I just want to say this, you will make time for what you think is important. Don't just veg out watching TV. Read and grow, feed your soul, and God will use your life. Now, we've got to take a break. We're going to conclude in the next segment. We're going to talk about getting this new year off to the right start that we can make a big-time, lasting impact for our Savior.
We'll be back right after the break with more of Exploring the Word. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. American Family Radio. American Family Radio.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom. Plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Happy New Year. This is a pre-recorded program. We're out of the office today, probably with our families, and we're hoping you're having a great day and you're not watching football, but you're listening to the radio. That's a great thing as well, and we're glad you are. And we're going through some things, the possible things that we need to do here in 2018. It's kind of like a list, but it's things that we desperately need in our lives. And we've gone over praying, witnessing, giving, growing and studying, and we've come to serve Him. Alex, mm-hmm. How important is service?
Well, it's very important. And we've got to remember that we joyfully, fruitfully, consistently are to serve our Savior. You know, one of the writers that we like, that we mention sometimes, is a guy named G.K. Chesterton.
Yes.
He was very
great thinker.
Oh, yeah. And he lived about 100 years ago. And he said, the object of a new year is not only that we should have a new year, it is that we should have a new soul and new feet, new hands, a new backbone, new ears, and new eyes. And he went on to say, ask God to make us new, to see Him, serve Him, go for Him. And I would say some of those things we need, and a new backbone and a new heart. And so let's move into this, realizing if the good Lord has given us another day, maybe another year even, it's another opportunity.
Amen. You know, one of the passages in the book of Acts says, those who have come, turned the world upside down, have come hither also.
Oh, I love it.
Hither is the King James Version. They've come here also. How did they turn the world upside down? Well, Jesus said he who is servant is he's doing a greater work.
Amen.
It wasn't necessarily looked that way in the Jewish culture, nor the Roman culture, a slave or a servant. And Jesus, along with Paul, elevated the servanthood to the highest position in his kingdom.
Isn't that something? Well, you know, we love quotes here, and we're forever saying so-and-so said. But I do think quotes are inspiring because, you know, bursts of wisdom. Billy Graham, when he hit the world scene in the early 50s, you know, he's preaching the gospel, be born again. And so there had been modernism growing for a number of years. You know, in the late 19th century, there had been German liberalism that came and began to infect American shores. And so Billy Graham is preaching the timeless truth, be saved, be born again. And somebody said, you know, Billy Graham, you've set the church back 50 years. And Billy Graham said, well, I was hoping to set it back 2,000 years.
Amen.
What did he mean by that?
Oh, go back to where it was
Book of
in Acts and see what God has done. Amen. Well, we need to serve.
We do.
Find someone and serve. I think you serve better in a local church.
Yeah.
But y'all, when I was pastoring full-time, and even now as I interim and supply, I'll tell them the greatest work of the church is taking place on the outside of the walls, not on the inside of the walls.
Right.
And because he said, they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. How are they going to see your good works? By serving.
I know.
And we need to serve. And again, not just one another as believers, but yeah, we need to serve those people who are out there, the policeman, the server who serves a person at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. We need to have a servant attitude toward them. Now, that's turning the world a little bit upside down. Here they are. They're serving you, but you need to look at, well, okay, how could I serve them? Could I make their work a little easier? Could I help them along the way?
Yeah.
And so
get
look
out
ways.
Of the four walls.
You better believe it. The other one was encourage, and that one just blesses me because my spiritual gift, when I preach, my issue is encouragement.
Yeah.
Just challenge the church, you know. And I believe godly people in 2018 will desperately need to be encouraged to stay in there with the Lord Jesus.
Well, exactly. And listen, you know, it's not hard to point out the negative. One thing about theology and truth, and I really have to kind of guard myself. I don't want to be always pointing out the negative. I mean, there's sin, there's darkness, there's a lot of things wrong, but be the encourager. And I'm really trying to, I'm preaching at Alex here. I want to be the one that is pointing people on the upward way. I want to be on the upward way myself because, you know, there's so much to be excited about that, you know, hey, Christ has conquered the grave. His kingdom is coming. The light of the gospel will prevail. You remember in John chapter 1, it says, the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome the light of Jesus and of the gospel. So don't we have every reason to be encouraged?
Amen, we do. Did you hear about the fella that went to a liberal seminary, and he had been brought up in a church, and he believed that the Bible was the Bible, it was literal, and he got into a class, Old Testament class, and the professor was talking about, you know, when they crossed the Red Sea, it was really the Reed Sea, and it wasn't dry, but they just went through and dropped off. And this fellow back there on the back that believed every word of the God, he just shouted, amen, praise the Lord. The professor said, what do you mean? I've just destroyed what you thought was true. And he said, no, it's better than I thought it was. And the professor said, what? He said, the whole Egyptian army drown in an inch of water.
Amen.
Well. So don't let the world discourage you. The reason I tell that, don't be discouraged by those that are browbeating us, saying it's useless, that we're defeated. No, stay in there.
Yes.
Don't quit. Stay strong.
Well, exactly. And so we're talking about things to be priorities in this new year, serve and encourage. Let me say this. My Christian friend, observe. Be a Christian of discernment. You know, James 1 verse 5 says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives abundantly and does not withhold. I do think one of the ways that you really get better than 2020 vision as a Christian is to stay in the Word. And if you know the Word, you can understand the world. If you know God's Word, you'll be able to discern the tides of this world.
Look at the world through the perspective of the Word.
We call it a Christian worldview.
You do. And the biblical model is that of looking at every situation. And I know what would Jesus do with that wristband was, but that is true.
Yeah.
One of the questions is, if you look at the Word, what did Jesus do?
Yes.
What did Jesus say? because what he did and what he said reflects on what we should do.
Yeah.
And you do that through reflecting. You look at what you could add to it. You observe what is needed. Be observant of those people.
Yeah.
Relationships are so important. We're coming in 2018. Don't discount relationships.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Be careful of the bridges you burn.
And be friends with lost people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's been said that within 2 years of becoming a Christian, most people have no more non-Christian friends. And I understand, you know, we gravitate toward the body of Christ and everything, but keep lost people in your life because you can hopefully point them to Christ. Now, we began with the scripture, 1 John 2:15 through 17, love not the world. When we're calling on people to observe and reflect, see the world worldviewishly. Be able to know the Word of God so that you can see. I mean, if in media and films, let's say you go see a movie, and there's a lot in there that runs against Scripture. Well, you got to know Scripture where you can see what's being said. And the reason we're telling you this, we don't want you to fall prey to messages that are unbiblical and ungodly. So cultivate your discernment. And I want to tell you two other things. Well, three, but the first two are this. Worship and rejoice.
Kind of go together, don't they?
Yeah. Now, I know this might sound like a little bit of a counterintuitive thing, an odd suggestion. Rejoice, as, you know, we're living in tough times. We really are. But listen, suffering is part of the Christian life, and it's often in the toughest of circumstances where the church is at her best and flourishes.
Amen. The church and the gospel will survive under all circumstances. The book of Acts, when I was studying the book of Acts, I was taught that the theme of the book of Acts was the power of the gospel over all barriers.
Right.
Now, you think of the barriers that was in the book of Acts. There were many of them. There was one that was the social. Another one was gender. Females could get saved. Man, it turned the Roman world upside down when they'd come to a local assembly, and the females were they were honored. They weren't dishonored. So the power of the gospel over all barriers,
right. That
is the power. But when freedom is available, missions have a greater capacity.
Exactly.
And that's why I believe America is still standing today, because of the mission effort that's going out from the churches in America. If you want to make a contribution to America lasting longer, three or four things you can do. Yes, go vote and vote right. When I say right, vote godly.
Amen.
That's what Phil Robertson said. Vote godly. And
I
hadn't gotten over that yet. Another one, participate. Be ready to run. Be willing and pray. But another one is give to missions.
Amen.
Give to missions. When God sees people who has a heart for taking the gospel around the world, he'll bless them.
And let me just say this, folks. Okay, we hear this a lot about, you know, the baby boomers worked hard and made money. And you hear this phrase, a great wealth transfer going on. Now, this is Alex here, and I'm going to be a preacher meddling in people's affairs. But it grieves me when I do funerals, and I do a number of funerals, and I know godly people, and they left their estate to non-Christian causes. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, your college fraternity was real special 50 years ago. I get it. The American Heart Association does good work, and the United Way and all these things, although the United Way does things that's ungodly. Look, leave your wealth to Christian things, to the church, to mission organizations. For goodness sakes, if the good Lord allowed you to amass an estate, whether it's small or large, don't leave it to secular things. Don't leave your inheritance to the public library. Put it in the work of the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Alex, that's a great word, not just a good word. And we encourage you to do that. Here at AFA, we have the AFA Foundation,
yeah.
And they will help you do that, even for us, and help others. But they'll help you, let you know that money can go for this mission organization, go for AFA. And And listen, make sure you use it for His glory and His honor, that the gospel may go out to all nations. One of these days in heaven, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, we're going to stand there with people from every tongue, and every nation, every tribe, every people, and we're going to be a part of them. And when you give, you pray, and you go, guess what? Some of those people may come up to you and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for praying. Because in heaven, guess what's going to happen? Now, we're not going to know everything, but a lot of the dots that have not been connected, they're going to be connected
in
heaven.
It's going to make sense.
Yes, it's going to make sense. And we're going to know, as we're known, we're going to know that's what happened when Alex preached the word. People are going to come up to Alex and say, Alex, thank you on the radio when you prayed for Christ to come into people's lives. I was one of those that asked Christ into my life. We don't know it sometimes because we're here, but it happens. And
well, praise
listen,
God.
Praise God. It's heaven. It's going to be glorious.
It is.
2018, this earth, God's given us a good earth, but He's given even a better heaven.
Listen, every 24-hour day that we live is an opportunity to do something that will count for eternity. I mean, the circumstances of life, good times, hard times, you know, all times, it's an opportunity for worship, service, and reward. All day long, no matter, you may be in a hospital bed or you may be going about your business, you can in your heart worship God. You can say, Lord, thank you for life. You can serve and just, you know, every day have a mindset of, hey, this is an opportunity that God's going to put things in my path I can do for my Lord, and you'll be rewarded. I know we're going to get rewards in heaven, gold, silver, precious stones. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But I think the good Lord rewards us a lot here. When we hear from people and they'll say, hey, I was listening to the show and it blessed us, that means a lot. And, you know, just the relationships of being in the church, there's ample 10,000 joys of walking with Jesus and for Jesus. But believe God for a positive outcome. We're talking about situational awareness, moving into this new year to be at our best and make a decision. You might have been a Christian 6 months or six decades, whatever. But look, whoever you are, number one, our message to you is to be saved. And we hope you're
get right with God and do it now.
That's right. But if you're a believer, again, say, Lord, here I am. Cleanse me, fill me, send me, use me. Now think about that. Beginning this year right, say, Lord, cleanse me, fill me, send me, use me. Situational awareness that we are going to believe God, that our life can count for eternity, because we have that promise. 1 Corinthians 15:58, your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
2018 can be a great year for you.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't mean that everything's going to run smoothly. I bet there'll be bumps in the road, Alex.
There are going to be, but this year we're going to make a mark for Jesus.
Amen. Through those bumps, we go through those bumps and we make a mark for the Lord Jesus. We want to wish you a happy new year, 2018. I pray that God would bless you richly, use you richly, and gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ and pray and seek Him and serve Him and worship Him. That's good advice.
Well, it is. And the show and the program, we're just going to journey through this year together. We're here to encourage you, and we praise God for it all.
Tell someone about this program, Exploring the Word, but more importantly, what do they need to do, Alex?
Tell everybody, everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.